Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. The college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. The first time, Joe, that we'll see the 12-team rankings. Josh Heupel was asked about this yesterday at his press conference. And you might as well have asked him, you know, what his favorite color paint from Home Depot is. Like, he didn't have a whole lot of interest in discussing it, and basically said, you remember what the first playoff rankings looked like last year? I don't either. That's what it means. So that was good stuff from Heupel yesterday. But I am a little bit interested tonight, Joe, knowing that there's a lot of football left to be played, to see what the rankings look like, where Tennessee lands in those rankings, and the 12 teams as a whole. Your thoughts on the inaugural 12-team playoff ranking that we will see tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN?
Well, I'm very excited for it. I think it's obviously it's the first 12 team, so you know that's that alone is very different. And I think a lot of people are going to learn. You know, if you follow college football closely, then you get that the top four seeds I have to be conference champions, and yep, you know, and things like that. And game day Saturday, Robbie, you hit that. There was like, you know, these poor Penn State kids who actually thought that James Franklin might win a big game, yeah, and that they might beat Ohio State. You know, one of they're interviewing like this, whatever, he's like the head of like the student section, and he's like, yeah, and we're gonna win, and we're gonna win the Big Ten, we're gonna host a playoff game, you know. And it was me, so like, hold on, time out, buddy. If you win the Big Ten, you actually won't host a playoff game. Right. You get to go to the freaking Orange Bowl or something.
If you want to host,
for a
quarterfinal. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. 5 through 8 hosts. 1 through 4 don't get home playoff games. So that's one. Yeah, there's some things about this whole setup that I think the general kind of more casual public is probably going to start figuring out and then realize all over again, wow, that's freaking dumb.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of fascinating things, of course, about these first rankings. You know, one of my big things, like we all had to do rankings. I'm trying to find these. I know that as a staff we had to do these things, so I came up with a 12 team at The Athletic. But one team that I can tell you that one team I had in that a lot of people won't, but I had in SMU.
Ooh. I like it.
I mean, look, you know,
they
lost
pretty darn good.
Well, they blew out Pitt, previously undefeated. You know, they handled Louisville, who, by the way, just went and smoked Clemson.
Yeah.
Glad that you and I were, you know, totally fooled by Dabo again, never again. And yeah, you know, yeah, one loss to undefeated BYU by 3 points. Right now, SMU's in my field. I think the most interesting team today is Indiana. Because, so Indiana, and first of all, it's just what's on the helmet, right? Like if Indiana's path had been, if it was Alabama, if it was Georgia or whatever, and is the same level of games you'd won and everything, but you'd been that dominant with the Alabama on the helmet, I think they'd be very high. And I'm very interesting to see, you know, how, because look, they don't have great wins. I mean, what's their best win? You know, they blew out Nebraska, which, I mean, you know, is just a bizarre team that just lost to UCLA after darn near beating Ohio State on the road, blew out Colorado, but it's not a great win. You know, they handled Washington with their backup quarterback. Washington's a pretty good team. You know, they went to Michigan State this last week and won by 37 points. It's not a terrible team, but I mean, you know, they haven't beaten anybody great. They have dominated, and game control is supposed to be a big thing here, right?
Yep.
Game control, like consistent dominance of your opponent. So, like, I put Indiana 6 in my rankings. Right after Ohio State. Ohio State gets the edge, even though they lost at Oregon because they just won at Penn State. But I don't know. I mean, I could see them being quite a bit lower. Now, they're certainly going to be in, right, in
yes,
the 12 as an undefeated team. But, you know, where are they? And, of course, the SEC is just going to be absolutely fascinating to see where all those teams, including Tennessee, are put. I mean, Tennessee, I'm still trying to find my bracket. But I think I had Tennessee in an 8-9 game with Texas right now. Yep. So that's where I had them.
I've got my 12 teams. You ready for them?
Yeah, man.
All right, this is my 12-team playoff as we sit here today. Oregon at number one, which I think is what you will see tonight. I've got Georgia at two. Undefeated Miami at three. BYU at four. So there's your conference champs right there, right? So your top four seeds right there. I've got Ohio State at five. I've got Penn State at six. Texas at seven. Tennessee at eight. Notre Dame at nine. Indiana at 10, Boise State at 11, and Alabama at 12. That's where I'm at currently.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's the thing, you know, and that's a good point. You know, the group of five is not necessarily – the group of five team is not necessarily, you know, going to – has to be not necessarily the 12.
No.
And here's another thing with that, you know. Let's say the Big 12 really messes around here. Someone beats BYU and, like they just had a terrible week. Iowa State loses. Kansas State loses again. Like, that league is looking at probably one team.
Yep.
Well, if BYU loses a game, it's possible that Boise State, if they went out, it's possible they could be a top four seed.
It is.
Because it's you don't have to have the Power Four. The Power Four don't have to be the four teams that get the top four seeds. It's just the highest ranked automatic champion, right? Champions.
Yep.
So because they have five of those, that guarantees there's a group of five team in there. It's guaranteed that there's five champions that are in this. So Boise State could be way up. So I'm close with you. So basically, yes, Oregon, Georgia, Miami, BYU, Ohio State. Then I go Indiana, six, Notre Dame, seven. Then I have Texas, eight, the actual UT, Tennessee, nine, Penn State, 10. Again, I have SMU at 11.
Okay.
Boise State at 12. I have no Alabama. So, I mean, that's another thing tonight, right? Is just the meltdown that we all could enjoy if Alabama is not in the 12.
The reason I've got them early, but is the win against Georgia. That's why I've got them in right now.
Sure.
And by the way, they're in an elimination game coming up on Saturday. Like, the loser of Alabama and LSU, I don't think, is getting in.
I 100% agree. It is, I think, the definition of an elimination game here in November. So
and I said a couple weeks ago, Joe, like, if you're a Tennessee fan, are you rooting for Alabama to win for that win to look as good as possible if you're Tennessee? There's also, I mean, people have thrown this out there, like, what if both Tennessee and Alabama ended up at 10-2? Like, conventional wisdom would tell you, well, Tennessee beat them head-to-head, so they'll get in. And that's not always necessarily the case. Like, you know, 2022 is a good example. Now, that was a 14 playoff and not a 12, and neither one of them got in. But Alabama finished ahead of Tennessee in the ranking, even though they were both 10-2, and Tennessee beat them head-to-head. Now, granted, Tennessee also lost Hendon Hooker at their quarterback, so that probably factors in, too. I'm just saying it's not always as simple as, well, so-and-so beat them head-to-head, so they're automatically in.
Not at all. Oh, not at all. Head-to-head often it doesn't end up being the deciding factor, and I know people get mad when it isn't, if their team is the one who won the head-to-head matchup. But no, I mean, if Alabama goes in there and smokes LSU, and by the way, some people have LSU, I know some people in The Athletic and their projections have LSU in their top 12 right now.
Yeah,
I mean, they're right there. LSU, you know, my problem with LSU is the loss to USC just looks terrible.
Yeah,
you know, the loss to USC, I mean, the loss to Texas A&M, that's not fatal, but like, what is LSU's best win? I guess it would be Ole Miss, right?
Yes.
And you know, winning at South Carolina was good, but also that's the thing. This is where you also get into, and this is what happens. These guys, these folks, men and women in this committee sit there and they talk about every single thing. So if you watched LSU's win at South Carolina, which right now counts pretty well for them, you also know that Lenora Sellers got hurt. And frankly, if you really watch the game, my God, did South Carolina get screwed in that game? You know, things like that get nitpicked, you know, down to the absolute granular level. Right. So that's something to keep in mind. But yeah, I mean, LSU, you know, A&M was in great shape. There's just a ton of SEC teams that are right around the fringe. Ole Miss is right there still.
Yep.
I mean, they're an elimination game. Really, honestly, that's kind of an elimination game, isn't it? Ole Miss, Georgia. I mean, Georgia still would be they'd be alive. Yeah. They'd be alive. Certainly, it's an elimination game for Ole Miss. It's at home, Georgia at Ole Miss. But, I mean, if Georgia loses that game, now it gets dicey for them. And Tennessee could, well, Tennessee could end them a week later.
If you're a Tennessee fan, would you sign up for my Tennessee-Notre Dame hosting at Neyland Stadium matchup right now? I would.
Oh man. No, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, so what are your matchups? Your 5-8 matchups would be 5-12 would be what?
That's Ohio State and that would be Alabama. Ohio State, Alabama in the 5-12.
Okay. Yep.
I think Penn State, I've lost my sheet. I think it was Penn State, Indiana, the matchup. Tennessee, sure. Notre Dame. And then it was Texas and Boise State, I think. Yeah, I'll try to pull Notre my Dame sheet back up.
Yeah, Notre Dame at Tennessee would be, yeah. So I would have Boise State, Ohio State, which, you know, I mean, that may not be great. SMU at Indiana, which is hilarious. I mean, what playoff battle, oh, SMU yeah. at Indiana and Bloomington. I got Penn State at Notre Dame, which would be sweet. And then, yeah, Tennessee, Texas would be. And the cool thing is with some of these, just the way it works out, like, we don't have rematches. I mean, these conferences are 97 teams big, so Tennessee and Texas didn't play. Indiana, Penn State didn't play. So, you know, it's going to be hard at times. If you're going to get four SEC and four Big Ten teams, it's going to be hard to avoid them playing each other early, but hopefully you won't have rematches because, hey, these conferences are so bloated.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The first college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. Where do you expect Tennessee to be? Is Alabama going to get left out? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. The college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. We will get back into the playoff discussion here in just a little bit. Joe, we do have some breaking news in the National Football League. As it relates to the NFL trading deadline, you brought up Za'Darius Smith and the pursuit of the Detroit Lions. Well, they've made the deal. Adam Schefter putting it out there, Za'Darius Smith on his way to the Detroit Lions from the Cleveland Browns. And here is the comp update from Adam Schefter. To Detroit, Za'Darius Smith and a 2026 seventh round pick. To Cleveland, a 2025 fifth-round pick, and a 2026 sixth-round pick. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, so I guess the SMH is he's not happy with being a Lion, mm-hmm. right? Is that what I have to
maybe so?
Is that what I have to judge from that? Yeah, it's okay. So seven, the fifth and a sixth. Yeah, that's, I mean, for the Lions' perspective, that's
pretty good.
Pretty good, man. I mean, the Brownies, man. Brownies make some sweet deals, don't they? Boy, I tell you what, Cleveland Browns fans must be just so excited about the way that team is coming Woo! Together. I tell you. Yeah. So, well, I guess I still would ask. That's the thing. Now the Lions, you know, they're not desperate, right? So my little scenario here with the Titans is probably dead. Sad. Pour one out for my awesome scenario. But is that enough? Is Za'Darius Smith enough? How good is Za'Darius Smith anymore?
He's got 5 sacks in 9 games. He's still a good player. Like, is he an elite pass rusher still? No. I mean, you know, he's 32. He had 13.5 sacks 2019, 12.5 in 2020, and he had 10 with Minnesota in 2022. Since then, he had 5.5 with Cleveland last year. He's got 5 in 9 games so far this year. So he helps. Like, he's a good player. You know, he's not – I don't know if he's a game wrecker or anything like that anymore. But I'll tell you this. Like, if that's where the bar right now is set for the return that they got, yeah, Arden Key is not bringing you back much if you're the Tennessee Titans.
That's true. Yeah, if basically if a fifth and a sixth going out, seventh coming back is Big Z, then, yeah, Arden Key is like a six, maybe.
Seventh.
So, yeah. So I wouldn't even bother, you know. I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't bother with it. I mean, I guess a six, maybe. I don't know. Like, again, it's the idea, like the caller said, you stockpile picks and – maybe you can package some picks and stuff like that. I mean, it's Arden Key is not terrible to have as a depth guy. And I guess some of it, it's like, for example, with him, it's like, okay, so what do they think about Jalen Harrell? Is Jalen Harrell at some point going to be at least a rotational guy that they think they can count on? We know that in camp, everybody loved him. You know, it's questions like that that come into the equation. Yeah, Big Z. Anybody, the one game I remember, 2018, anybody remember the Ravens coming in here?
Oh, yes.
I think they won like 21-0 or something like that, but like just like Marcus Mariota could not breathe in that game. Like just absolutely one of the most dominant defensive performances I've seen in the NFL. Wink Martindale coming in with that Ravens defense, and Big Z was just an absolute nightmare. But again, that's 6 years ago. Yeah, he's good. Like he played for your squad, so you know he's a solid player. He's a good player.
He's
a
good player.
Plays.
Yeah, I mean the NFC North tour continues. By the way, you bring up that game. It was 21-0. Ravens Titans, the most dominant 21-0 game I think I've ever seen. And Za'Darius Smith had three sacks in that game. Three sacks by himself.
I knew. Okay, there you go. I knew, like, he was just – I was like, man, that guy is unbelievable. I just completely unblockable. Who the heck was trying to block him that day?
I don't know.
You know, the thing is, it's like, who was – like, was Lawan healthy that day? Like, what the heck? That's what's weird is, like, you know, Lawan and Conklin were their tackles back then, which for the most part was great. But, of course, Conklin – that was the year that Conklin was coming off the ACL.
Yeah.
So that's where they – that was a tough year for him from that perspective. But, yeah, Big Z, man. So there's another pass rusher off the market. And, of course, the Cardinals were a team that's been reported, and it makes sense. Monty Austinfort was here, you know, but that they were poking around here, but they got themselves a pass rusher too. So I'm at this point, I'm probably going to guess that, you know, that the Titans are probably just going to have the same roster right now. They'll have the same roster tomorrow.
That would be my guess. I mean, you're running out of teams and options here to trade. Now, we'll see. You know, things – I will say this has become a lot more entertaining around the NFL trading deadline than it used to be. I mean, it used to be something on the calendar that you just didn't even know existed because there were so few trades. We've seen a few more this year. Again, if you missed it, Za'Darius Smith being traded from the Browns to the Detroit Lions. Lions get back Za'Darius Smith – and a 2026 seventh-round pick. The Browns, a 2025 fifth-rounder, and a 2026 sixth-rounder as well. So not a steep price to pay if you're the Detroit Lions, and you got a guy with already five sacks in nine games coming in to help that defense. And by the way, like, you know, I'm with you. They needed to make a move. Like, at some point, it was probably going to catch up to them. The defense has played pretty well without Aiden Hutchinson to this point, and now you add another pass rusher there. I said it yesterday. I stand by it, recognizing that I'm probably an idiot for saying this while the Chiefs are undefeated and have won two straight Super Bowls. I think the Lions are the best team in the league.
Yeah, they might be. They are right there. You know, I honestly, you know, I watched that whole game last night. Hopkins makes a difference.
Oh yeah.
You know, but man, I think Baltimore's better. I think Baltimore is better than Kansas City. I do. And we'll see. And I'm not sure on Buffalo. I just think, you know, Kansas City, they obviously have, I mean, they have the best player, and he just always makes plays. And maybe the Hopkins thing is going to grow, and it's just going to start to really look scary again. But they are so beatable, you know?
Glad he's not like hurt, by the way, because I thought for a minute he was going to be last night.
No, my initial terrible internet doctor diagnosis was, oh, my God, it's an Achilles. It's one of those, you know, non-contact, and all of a sudden you're hopping around, you can't put any weight on it. Oh, but thank goodness. And then you're like, oh no, it'd be just blew his knee, and then you're like, oh, he's coming right back.
No, he's fine. Yeah, going out there making
bionic
some more plays.
Quarterback.
It's pretty, but wild.
Yeah, but I just look. No one will be shocked if they win a third straight, but I don't think they're going to. I really don't. I'm going to hot take it right now. They're not going to win a third straight. They're not going to get to the Super Bowl this year.
Clip that up. Clip it up.
Clip it up.
We'll see how it goes.
Clip it up, baby.
We'll see how it goes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more of your thoughts on the NFL trade deadline, a couple of your thoughts on the college football playoff to get to as well. We'll do all that. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 745. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Black Rabbit. Black Rabbit, a great spot to enjoy some Nashville vibes with craft cocktails, delicious food, and live music just steps from iconic venues. It's perfect for a night out. Snagging a $50 gift card for only $25, a fantastic way to experience it. So get yours now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The NFL trading deadline is today. Za'Darius Smith being traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Detroit Lions. So one would think you can take the Lions off the list in terms of potential trade partners for the Tennessee Titans. Although, Joe, who knows? At that price, maybe they just want to load up. Just get as many edge rushers as possible.
Yeah, I mean, Arden Key looked pretty good in Detroit.
He did.
I thought I saw they did like a jersey swap after the game, and he was like, oh, does this mean I'm on the Lions now? Yeah. But it didn't work out for him that well. I suppose they could try to add another sort of comp. They're still not – I would not say the Lions have – you know, a good enough pass rush right now just by adding Za'Darius Smith. It goes from zero to Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
So I suppose anything is possible. But again, yeah, I just, is there anybody else out there who, you know, would be, because to me, it's like, it's Landry and Simmons. Like I'm not considering, if I'm the Titans, any of my young players on their rookie deals who I think are good. Right. So like, and I know some people will laugh at like Skronsky, but I'm not, you know, Skronsky, Latham, you know, obviously the rookies this year, there aren't a lot. That's the thing, that the depressing thing when you go through the Titans roster is there aren't a lot of guys who fit that bill. You want a lot of guys like that. You want a lot of young guys on rookie deals who are good and are obviously untouchable at trading deadline time. There aren't a ton.
Treylon Burks getting moved today.
Sweat would be one of them. I mean,
12th round pick.
Yeah, I need to expand the draft by 10 rounds so that you can trade them. It's probably gonna be quiet on the Titans front. It used to be, okay, who cares, that's what the NFL's trading deadline is. But now that it's become all exciting, you know, you kind of feel left out if you're not part of it in the NFL anymore.
I'm still holding out some hope. We'll see if the Titans make a move by the time the 3 o'clock deadline rolls around. Top Tier on the YouTube chat says Baltimore never beats Kansas City, directed at you, Rex Road. Upset that you think Baltimore's better than Kansas City.
I just want you to keep in mind that I did say it's a hot take. I mean, I like right now, I think most people would pick the Chiefs to win that matchup. Most people would pick the Chiefs to get the Super Bowl. I think Baltimore's got something special, man. I do.
You picked Baltimore in the preseason to go to the Super Bowl.
I did, and they made me waver a little bit. And I know that you don't want to – I'm not just overreacting to, like, them beating Denver 41-10, although I love the pregame conversation of, like, Sean Payton, like, we're going to be the more physical team. Like, no, you're going to get your butt absolutely handed to you. I think they've got everything with all the receivers they have and what Derrick Henry's doing for them and their I really like them, but we'll see. I watch Kansas City. I've watched a ton of Kansas City. Probably most of us have, because like they're usually featured in some way, and man, they have a very good defense and Patrick Mahomes is the best player, and they are limited. They really are. And they're very beatable, but they just keep winning these close games. Kudos to them, but this is not some, oh my god, who's gonna beat that team situation.
By the way, Derrick Henry, another 100-yard, 2-touchdown game for the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. So just add another one to the list, baby. He's just rolling right along up there in Baltimore.
He's past 1,000, leading the league by a large margin. I don't think he's gonna get two, but he's probably gonna end up like 1,800 yards this year. Just insane.
By the way, we won't talk about my preseason Super Bowl pick of the Cincinnati Bengals to win, who currently sit at 4-5 and not in the playoffs.
You had Bengals who?
Who did I have in the NFC?
Niners?
I think it was Lions. I feel good about that.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. I had Ravens, Niners, I think.
I believe so.
I had Niners, yeah. I'm not, you know, they're not done yet. Yeah, the injuries and things like that.
McCaffrey's coming back.
I'm not counting them. Yeah, McCaffrey's about to come back. You know, obviously, Ayuk, that's a killer, but I still think they have enough.
Chase on the text line, going back to the college football playoff rankings, says Tennessee should be around 8-10 right now, But I think Tennessee wins out. Carson Beck is just another Tannehill. That'll get Rexrode going. Three picks in back-to-back games.
Okay.
Tennessee's defense is going to terrorize him. Secondly, since Alabama, the second half, Nico has a different level of confidence. Offense starting to gain some momentum and figure some things out. Still not clicking on all cylinders, but they're getting there. This is from Chase on the text line, saying anywhere from 8 to 10, probably the right ranking for Tennessee tonight.
Carson Beck's just another top 10 pick who's going to go to the Pro Bowl and have several 4,000-yard seasons. Yeah, I know. I'm going to end up being the biggest Tannehill homer ever. Carson Beck is – it really is. Yeah, so our guys Brugler and Baumgartner, friends of the show, did a little thing this week, kind of a roundtable, and they're talking like Carson Beck's a third-rounder, which is – I mean, remember like
it's
going
a far
into the
cry
year.
From where it started.
Yeah, but also that like this quarterback class is – like, it's not – I think Baumgartner said it's not 2022, but it's on the dance floor with that. So that's something just to keep in mind.
Good for the Titans.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to interject, like, the heavy draft talk, but just as something to keep in mind there. It is not the year necessarily to need that QB and be have the pick to get the QB.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see – how he plays the rest of the year. I mean, the thing is, like, Carson Beck, he was so bad against Alabama, and then he was good against Alabama. And I watched the Florida game last week, and he threw a couple of those interceptions he threw were just brutal. Like, it's like, terrible. What are you looking at, man? It's all, but then he'll make like a 35-yard throw on the sideline that is an NFL-level throw, and you're like, okay, well, where's that all game long? Yeah. It's really mystifying to watch him play football right now.
Yeah, it's not consistent enough. And, yeah, obviously you take away – I mean, the running game isn't as good, but also, I mean, obviously you take away McConkey and Bowers, right? Those are huge losses for him. He's good, but, yeah, he's not that guy, I don't think. Now, hey, maybe we'll find out that, you know, he'll tear it up and get in the playoff and clean up the mistakes, but it's been underwhelming for sure. Garrett from Clarksville, semi-hot take, Tennessee will lose to Vandy, and Vandy will storm the field again.
Mm.
We're already getting ready for that one, man. There's a lot of big games in between, but that's such a better and more interesting game than I ever thought it would be.
I thought about this.
I don't even want to watch it.
Going back to the Alabama thing, like if you're a Tennessee fan, should you root for LSU to beat Alabama, which would effectively eliminate Alabama? And then you look at LSU. Now, LSU's schedule is not overly daunting down the stretch here after Alabama. They got Florida on the road, which, we'll see. They got Vanderbilt, and then they got Oklahoma. Like, I'm not overly confident that LSU's going to run the table during that stretch. They'll be favored in all those, I would assume. But if you're a Tennessee fan, should you root for LSU on Saturday to eliminate Alabama and then take your chances that a Florida or a Vanderbilt or an Oklahoma takes down LSU?
It's a great question. I mean, first of all, you know, you should – I think you root for Alabama. I think you root for Alabama because that win is just stronger, you know? Like, the stronger that win can be, as I just think, it's just like with basketball, bad losses don't count as much as good wins. Good wins, like, who did you beat? How impressive are your victories, right? And I just think that the stronger the Alabama win can look, the better for Tennessee. Obviously, so much of this is going to be, like, if they go to Georgia, of course, winning the other games, and again, I do think it's a game here with Vanderbilt for sure. And then being like going down there and stopping the tradition of annually getting your butt kicked by Georgia, going down there, and there's no reason that they should just go down there and get their butts kicked this year. No way.
Their defense is not the same Georgia in that game. They 100%. Look, we found out the start time yesterday. It's 6:30 on ABC. So it's a night game at Georgia. The place is going to be going nuts. You know, I know when I guess Tennessee fans leaked Stetson Bennett's phone number a couple years ago, and that place is going crazy out there. So, like, the environment's going to be great. Like, Georgia's going to be favored. Georgia should be favored in that game. But, like, Tennessee's defense should keep them in that game with a chance to win, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Tennessee's offense, I've seen some, you know, like this week a little bit of, like, you know, people writing about Nico and stuff. It's like, man, if you – I think Nico took a real step last week. I mean, you know, he's got to continue that. I mean, Mississippi State should be a nice way to, like, keep confidence going.
They better score some first half points against Mississippi State.
Yeah, you would think. First, second, halftime. I mean, they should be scoring, you know, frequently against Mississippi State. But I just think – I think Nico that was lost in all their first half stuff is that I think he's taking strides right now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. The NFL trade deadline going on today at 3 o'clock. We will get back into the Predators and their debacle last night a little bit later in the program as well. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Welcome back to the Fat and Bald Show. See us more now.
We all say things that are stupid. I do all the time. You've got to embrace taking an L sometimes.
And
just moving on from something.
I don't understand what's stupid about this when I was right.
I guess maybe he is dumb. I'm going to find out which house they're coming from, and I'm going to egg your house. Okay? So I'm making you a promise right now.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Very good work by Nick Kieser to put all that together. Very nicely done. Joseph, the floor is yours with this wonderful music in the background.
What was the egg? Remind me the egging your house thing.
Fireworks.
Oh, that's right, the fireworks. The
if you threat- don't stop shooting those fireworks, I'm pelting your houses with eggs. Yeah.
When your dogs, and it freaks them out so much, you know, if you're a dog owner, it's a different deal, man. Okay, speaking of fireworks, 4th of July, this is, I mean, let's all be honest here. This is a huge day for our country, folks, okay? A huge, huge day. And I'm here to tell you that I need you to choose accordingly. The stakes are incredibly high, and I'm going to tell you what to do. And this may be controversial. I don't care. I feel too strongly to keep quiet about it, so... Robbie, Nick, you know, Chase, but all of you, you're going to have to bear with me and you're going to have to hear me out.
Okay.
This is what I need you to do today. Live your life and live it well because it's going to continue after today. Go take a walk.
Hopefully.
Take your dogs for a walk. Yes. Make your kids breakfast. Take your kids to school. Let a car go in front of you at a crowded intersection. If someone flips you off, smile back at them. Don't litter. If you see someone else littering, pick up a piece of trash. Be kind. Please rewind. Bring positive energy. Open the door for someone. Make a sandwich. Read a book. Volunteer. Go to church. Go to the bar. Touch grass. Tonight, watch the college football playoff rankings and some action and leave Steve Kornacki's projections to someone else. Do literally, like, damn near anything. Not criminal activity, but damn near anything. Except base your entire existence on the outcome of this election for the 47th president of the United States. Like, if you think the world ends if your candidate of choice doesn't win today, or even if you just think our country is going to stop functioning if your candidate of choice doesn't win today, you're wrong. Stop it. You are part of the problem. If your candidate and political party are essentially your religion, you need to find a new religion. Whatever happens today and tonight, we're all going to wake up tomorrow and we're going to be expected to be responsible, law-abiding citizens who must live together and try to function in a society. If you aren't prepared to do that, if you can't think back and realize that these presidential elections have happened your whole life and they probably haven't affected your life all that much, then you know what? Never mind. Stay home. Shut up. Stay the hell off the internet and let the rest of us live our lives. Thank you.
Well said. I really enjoyed that. Fired up Rex Road is my favorite Rex Road.
I was trying to get you freaked out like I was going to, you know, make my official political presidential endorsement.
I thought you might for a minute.
Yeah. So, it's just, I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
I've done my level best to avoid all of it. We'll see how it goes throughout the day. But, yeah, I mean, everything you just said, I think is pretty spot on as it relates to the way that this should be approached. I was thinking about this when I woke up this morning, Joe, and here's kind of a microcosm of how this whole thing affects our lives. If you had to elect a president of the National Football League, who would it be? Basically, I'm replacing Roger Goodell, but you have to go vote on it. Who would it be?
A president of the National Football League.
Yes.
Okay, so, but then it would be essentially a person who would like take over the role of commissioner.
Yes,
like basically,
pretty much.
Yeah. Like you get to vote in the commissioner, but we'll call him the president.
Right.
You know, I think I might think about. I hate to be a total Vol homer, but I think I might think about Peyton.
Peyton,
Manning.
Look at there.
You know,
yeah.
I just feel like he's pretty level headed and has the game's best interest at heart, and he isn't a dill Man. Hole.
Are you gonna find like anybody some? That's more of a Vol quarterback lover than Joe Rexroad campaigning for the Titans to go get Hendon Hooker today, and wow. Now wants to make Peyton Manning the president of the National Football League.
Well, imagine the scene as Peyton hands the Lombardi to Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. You know, we're like 3 years from that.
Warm embrace that would happen after that, too.
What's your answer?
I think it's Belichick, and it wouldn't have been Belichick prior to him doing television. But he's been so entertaining on television, and quite frankly, my favorite part about him on TV is he says exactly what he thinks, which doesn't happen very often on TV anymore. I think he would be great as a president of the National Football League. My other guess was going to be Brady, but that was more so to make you mad than anything else. So Belichick is my answer.
Yeah, it's not Brady.
He's doing enough.
Yeah, let's see if he can get himself to be like a half-ass announcer. What did you think of his call the other day?
I did not hear much of it. I was at an establishment, and there was a lot of things going on.
Gotcha.
But I did not hear much of it.
It was okay, but again, it's like he's like the fourth – team. She'd been the fourth team on a network. See, Belichick is a thought, but maybe like someone with a little more runway, maybe someone who doesn't have to like make daily stops at daycare, things like that, and wouldn't be distracted.
He's making a lot of TikToks right now. Did you see his Halloween costume?
Like the Halloween thing where his girlfriend is like a mermaid and he has a fishing pole?
Yes.
Yes. I'm not sure that that's president of the NFL material. I say Peyton.
In our first act as president of the National Football League, mandatory duck, duck, goose for everyone at minicamp. Who says no?
Okay, are we doing chutes and ladders or Candyland?
Instead of water breaks, y'all get pouches that you can go eat that have fruit in them. Really good stuff.
Right.
I saw that pic.
Well, ready, Bill.
You know, you don't know what's real and what's not in some cases on the internet anymore. I will say, when I saw the picture of Belichick in the costume, basically with a fishing pole reeling in his mermaid girlfriend from the ocean, my first thought was, there's no way this is real. And then it turns out, Joe, that it was. That's what Bill Belichick's doing.
I must say, that is pretty badass by Bill. I gotta
say. It kind of
is. You got to lean into it, man.
You kind of is.
You got to lean into it.
Ken from Mount Juliet says, Joe, that was the best rant ever. Amen, amen, and amen. This is from Ken. Joe getting a lot of praise on the text line right now.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. I'm actually surprised there's not some people screaming at me about how like their candidate actually has to win or we're all going to die.
Well, just give it some time. It might happen.
I haven't gone to the YouTube chat. YouTube chat, don't let me down.
YouTube chat's been a little bit of an angry place lately, so we'll see what that looks like. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. It is NFL trade deadline day. We'll keep you updated on the latest moves in the NFL. By the way, another one just happened, so we'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.